Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show Music Wednesdays on May 21st, 2014. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and South Bay music lover. The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or would simply like to brush up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, that's all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can contact us at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show, or visit us on our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. But we also listen to a lot of great live music, and one of my favorite experiences of live music here in the South Bay is listening to the Beach City Symphony Orchestra, and we're lucky to have with us today Barry Brisk, conductor of the Beach City Symphony Orchestra, music director. Barry first conducted in public at the age of 14 when he performed selections from South Pacific at his graduation from Webster Junior High School in West Los Angeles. As a student, he also conducted the orchestras at University High School, Mount St. Mary's College, and the University of Music, formerly Academy of Music, in Vienna, Austria, where he studied with the prominent conductor teacher Hans Swarovski, the teacher of Zubin Mehta and Claudio Abbado. Professionally, Brisk has conducted many orchestras in Southern California, as well as Mexico and Austria. Maestro Brisk has been music director of the Beach City Symphony since 1994 and is particularly proud of having expanded the orchestra's repertoire. He has conducted works by more than 80 composers, more than a dozen of whom are living. Two of his compositions were premiered at BCS Concerts, Serenade for Orchestra, May 2007, and Kaleidoscope, January 2010. His 1984 Concerto for Trombone and Strings was played in March 2012. Maestro Brisk's wife, Kathy, is an internationally recognized expert on ancient Greek coins. Their first grandchild, Philip Anderson Grell Brisk, currently 3.5 years old, uses a toy piano for his musical activities. Their son, Philip, is an assistant professor of computer science at the University of California, Riverside. Philip's wife, Marilyn, is working for her PhD in political science at the University of Neuchâtel, Switzerland. I believe we have to update that bio as well. But thank you for joining us, Barry Brisk. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Joe.
Now, I know we have to update that, right? Because she's achieved her PhD in political science. Isn't that correct?
Oh, not yet.
No.
So she achieved her, it's a little confusing. She achieved her master's degree in political science. Now she's going after her PhD in sociology.
Oh, yes. Okay.
But that's happening through the University at Neuchâtel in Switzerland.
Yes, 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 I see. I see. Well, it's such a pleasure, Barry. Every quarter, approximately, we get together and discuss the program that's coming up this Friday, March 23rd, at Beach City Symphony Orchestra. It's just right here at the Marseille Auditorium on the campus of El Camino College. It's a wonderful venue, beautiful hall, great acoustics and so forth, and also it's a free concert.
Right. The admission is free, but there is a $3 parking fee, which is to help support the college.
Right. And I often I have to counsel people that the machines take dollar bills, so it's very convenient if you have $3 bills. And then parking is very convenient. Otherwise, you have to go to a different machine closer to the auditorium to get. They don't take credit cards, those machines, do they? Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet for parking. So $3 bills, and you're privy to some of the greatest music the world has ever known. They play the goodies, but oldies. The classics, also lots of new music, and of course this coming Friday is one of my wife's favorite of the entire year's program. It's sponsored or in concert with the Music Teachers Association of California, South Bay Branch, Artists of the Future Soloists, and it's just going to be spectacular. Can you tell us a little bit about the first piece, Winter Waltz?
Right. Well, that the first piece happens before we get into the artists of the future, who are the young soloists.
Yes.
Yes. Winter Waltz was written by a friend of mine, Milos Rejkovic, who lives in Brooklyn, New York.
Hmm.
And he wrote this for a specific situation where they wanted short pieces, like not more than 5 minutes long.
Hmm.
And what's interesting about this, he sort of comes out of a minimalist milieu where they use a minimal amount of material to create artworks. And so this whole piece is made up of only 5 notes.
Oh.
So normally in the chromatic scale we have 12 notes, including, you know, flats and sharps and all that. But there's only 5 notes, A, B, C, E, and G.
Mm.
And he's got whole piece made up out of that. You would not even think that it was, you know, so narrowly defined. It is a waltz with a little homage here and there to Viennese waltzes and Tchaikovsky waltzes.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's cleverly slipped in an extra beat here and there. You know, a waltz is normally in 3-4, you know, 1-2-3, 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm.
But given us a few measures, which she calls 3+1. So it's 1, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And sometimes you get it the other way, 1+3, 1, 1, 2, 3, 1, 1, 2, 3. But it's so cleverly slipped in, you won't realize, if you're not dancing, that there's something a little unusual happening. Of course, if you were dancing, it would mess up your feet. But nobody dances to the waltz anymore anyhow. That I said to him, well, since it's practically summer when we're doing it, why don't we rename it Summer Waltz? And he says, no, I'm writing a summer waltz, so we can't change the name. But it was first performed in Belgrade, Serbia, former Yugoslavia, which is his hometown.
Mm.
This was, I think, in 2006. So our performance Friday night is the United States premiere of the piece.
Mm-hmm.
We did 2 pieces by him a couple of years back, like 10 years ago or so, a happy overture and a symphony, also in the same vein that is minimalist, using just a few materials to create an entire piece of music. So he's a very competent, talented composer.
Hmm. Amazing. Wonderful. 5 notes. That's great. That's something very much important to hear. And one of the things, Barry, that's unique about the Beach City Symphony is that it is a volunteer symphony. And can you talk a little bit about that? I think that's fascinating. And also, I want to mention to people that you're welcome to call in and ask Maestro Brisk questions and have comments. We'd love to have you. Just call in at 714-242-5288. That's area code 714-242-5288. So tell us a little bit about the structure of the orchestra as a volunteer orchestra.
Right, well, we call it a community orchestra.
Community.
Right, which means we have people from the community who simply want to play an instrument. Now, we don't teach them how to play the instrument. They have to already have that skill. You know, they had private lessons when they were children. Some of them played through middle school, high school, college. But they volunteer their services. Mm-hmm. And that's the bulk of the orchestra is like that. There are a few people like the concertmaster, Rebecca Rutkowski, and our principal cellist, and a couple of other people where you need sort of, shall we say, a professional leadership to you know, make things happen well and to help the others. So there's a whole, shall we say, panoply of volunteers on all of the instruments, you know, in the trumpet section, in the cello section, the trombone, and you also get a whole variety of capabilities. Some of them are really outstanding players who simply chose not to pursue music as a profession. They became engineers or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of engineers in the orchestra, being in the South Bay. And some of them are less proficient, and some of them are a little less proficient than that. But mm-hmm. it's community volunteer situation. So that's what makes it very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And being in an orchestra of this nature, first everybody joins an orchestra for the musical experience. You want to play a symphony by Shostakovich or Brahms or whatever, and you like to play your instrument. But after you've done this for a while, you get to know the people sitting around you. Eventually, you get to know the people on the other side of the room. So it's also a social experience coming to the rehearsals.
Right.
You know, during the break, people gab and go outside, and, you know, everybody knows, you know, about everybody else's grandchildren or that sort of thing. As a matter of fact, last year at exactly concert in May, one of our first violinists, Josephine Olson, was very pregnant with her first child, and it turned out, and her husband was backstage just in case something happened, and right after the concert, they went straight to the hospital, and their child was born the next morning at about 5 o'clock.
Mm.
But she played the concert that night.
And what is her instrument?
Violin.
Violin. Oh.
Back of the violin section, so that she had quick access to getting off stage. But she didn't need to do that. She sat through the whole concert looking happy and did the whole thing. And she's supposed to be there for this Friday evening's concert as well.
That's great.
So, you know, you get these kinds of special situations which are above and beyond the music, you know.
Right. Right. So every time we get together, Barry, we have to just touch on the history. I mean, you've been the music director since 1994. But the orchestra, the Beach City Symphony Orchestra, is how old, Barry?
Well, let me put it this way. Next fall, for our November 1st concert, we're going to celebrate three things.
Yes.
That will be 65th day or anniversary of the orchestra.
Mm.
It'll represent 50 years in Marcy Auditorium, and it will be my 20th anniversary as music director. So that all comes together next November.
Okay.
So that's all the years we need right there.
Right. Right. And it's I'm shocked sometimes, but I shouldn't be. I'm shocked sometimes that people say, what do you mean, Beach Cities Symphony Orchestra? Where are they? Where do they play? What do you mean we have a symphony in the Beach Cities? Well, yes, we do. It's kind of it's still a treasure that people haven't fully discovered yet. There's never an excuse for the concerts not being sold out, and I highly encourage people to come out this Friday, just 2 days from now. And there's something special. Every concert, you have a talk before the concert at 7:30 p.m. Isn't that right?
Right. I give a pre-concert lecture where I talk about all the pieces and whatever anecdotes I can think of to go along with make it more human instead of being some abstract thing up in the sky somewhere.
Right.
And that goes on for, 15 or 20 minutes starting at 7:30. The concerts start at 8:15. So if you happen to miss the lecture, you can still be there on time for the concert.
Right.
There is an added thing in the May concert where we have this Artists of the Future.
Mm-hmm.
In the foyer upstairs, we have several young people who are going to talk about the music as well. So if we have young people in the audience, let's say friends of the soloists, something like that, they can go attend a different lecture upstairs. While I'm talking to the adults downstairs, we have a thing for young people up above.
At 7:30?
Correct.
Wow. Okay. All right. So this would be a great idea for, my wife is a piano teacher.
Uh-huh.
And she is excited about this coming Friday because she likes sending out a notice to all of her students' families to bring their students to see the concert.
Right. Well, fortunately, we have one piano soloist on this concert Friday evening.
Yes.
Other than that, there's a cello player, a flute player, and a violinist.
Yes. Yes. Looking forward to that. Now, of course, that brings us to the program for the Artists of the Future.
Right.
And the first piece will be a concerto number 23 in A major, third movement, Presto by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And the gentleman's name,
Edward Dong Xu.
Edward Dong Xu will be the piano soloist. Can you tell us a little bit about that piece?
Well, all of the late Mozart piano concertos are really quite fascinating. In a symphony, you basically get an introduction followed by what we would call the exposition.
Mm.
First is presented, then you have a transition, then a second theme, and maybe a third theme.
Mm.
In the concerto, you frequently get like a double exposition because you have the soloist and you have to play the orchestra. And frequently the orchestra starts without the soloist.
Mm.
So how Mozart manipulates the themes in what order, whether the orchestra plays it or the soloist plays it, or they do it together, it's always different and fascinating.
Mm.
And the third movement of this concerto in A has several different themes, four or five actually, little things that happen, and how he flips them around back and forth is really a marvelous thing.
Mm.
It's also in what we call rondo form.
Mm.
So the first theme comes back a number of times. I don't want to get technical here, but it's charming, upbeat piece of music, and the young man plays it very well.
How old is Edward?
I would guess 14 or 15.
I see. Okay. And then the next piece is a concertino, Opus 107 by Cécile Chaminade?
Correct. She was one of the earliest lady composers to make a name for herself. Her dates are something like 1857 to 1944.
Mm.
She was born in Paris and died in Monte Carlo.
Mm.
Her mother was a piano teacher, and she learned early on about music.
Mm-hmm.
Even though her father didn't want her to go into it, she did.
Mm.
She is mainly remembered for this piece. If you look her up, this is the first thing you're going to get, is the the concertino for flute. It's in one movement, about 10 minutes long. Mm-hmm. It's a very pleasant, lovely piece. Everybody finds it completely charming.
Mm-hmm.
It's great music in the sense of Brahms with enormous depth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid not. But it's still a nice thing, very professionally done. The orchestra is handled very well. It's rather difficult to play, and the legend has it that she had a flute player boyfriend, perhaps fiancé, who broke off their relationship, and that she wrote a very difficult piece for him, hoping he wouldn't be able to play it, because he had to play for something at the conservatory in Paris, and but he did manage to do it.
Hmm.
This is the legend. I'm not sure it has a real basis in reality, but it's a charming story anyhow.
Yes. Now, the flute soloist is Jamie Kim.
Correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about him or her?
That's a him. Yes. Excuse me. I'm sorry, a her. I'm terribly sorry about that. Yes, she's studying with Verna Balsh, who lives down in the South Bay area. I mean, I've met her once so far at the rehearsal we had. I'll see her again this evening at our rehearsal. But exactly which high school, I'm sorry, that she attends, I'm sorry, I can't remember that offhand.
Well, we have a version of this piece, the concertino for flute, and we'd like to play a little bit of it. So shall we do that?
By all means.
All right. Cécile Chaminade, concertino for flute and orchestra. a very charming piece there.
Oh yes, indeed.
It's very sad what's going on with music education in the schools, and that's another reason that my wife is very, very excited about these particular performances of the Beach City Symphony, because it highlights those kids that are achieving in music while they're young, and you would like to see many, many children involved in music while they're young. And it just still is a struggle, isn't it, in the public education system?
Yes. Now, I can only speak really about the Los Angeles Unified School District, because I was elementary school music teacher there for a number of years. There's more going on than the general public is aware of. It was cut back many years ago with Proposition 13 in 1978. Many people think it was music was eliminated, which was definitely not the case. So there is stuff going on in all of the public schools. So it does happen. We being the Beach City Symphony, we rehearse in the band room at Redondo Union High School. And they have a new band director there, Ray Vizcarra, and they've just been winning, awards for good performances at festivals and things like that. And so it is still out there. We'd always like to have more, but it still exists.
Right.
Not as huge as it was in the 1950s, but it's still out there, and we encourage people, to do what they can.
Right, right. Well, we hope that more organizations and more sort of associations that support the schools will include their support of music, because I think it not only is it an aid to their academic studies, music has history, music has mathematics, sociology, and we're going to talk a little bit about history as it relates to music when we get to the Tchaikovsky piece, because it has a lot of history to it. But of course, it improves life when you have music in your life.
Music is a big part of everybody's life. Without even thinking about it, everything you hear on the radio, perhaps, or television, or the movies, has music in the background.
Right.
Sometimes it's innocuous, but sometimes it's really good, obvious examples would be, like John Williams movie music and things like that,
right.
Which ends up on its own when you hear it elsewhere. So it's a huge part of our lives.
Right.
It's an aesthetic thing that should be nurtured, like going to a museum and seeing wonderful paintings and sculptures. Music is there to be enjoyed, and it enhances our lives. We don't just go to work, go home, have dinner, and go to sleep. There's more to life than that. I mean,
right.
Some days too, but, there's a lot more to life.
Right.
And music is a big element of that.
It is, and it's marvelous that we get to experience some of that great music right here in the South Bay without going very far. To this coming Friday, the Beach City Symphony Orchestra will be playing at Marseille Auditorium right here in the South Bay at El Camino College campus. And the concert is free. Parking is $3. You should bring $3 bills. Make it very convenient for you when you're getting the parking ticket from the machine in the parking lot. And if you show up at 7:30, you can join Barry for a pre-concert lecture that he gives about the pieces and perhaps the soloists and other tidbits, and then there's a talk for children in the upper. Is that what do we call that? The upper balcony.
Yes.
The upper balcony.
spotlight is in the front of the auditorium, but you have to go upstairs. The stairs are very obvious.
Yes, and there's going to be a talk at 7:30 for children. Perhaps are the soloists going to be talking or other people?
Oh no, the soloists will be too nervous. You have to leave them alone. But the presenters of that talk are teenagers who are involved with the Music Teachers Association.
I see.
So, what they say is it's all well prepared, and they usually have some visuals and things like that to help along with their presentations.
And I certainly want to give a plug to the Music Teachers Association of California, mtac.org, mtac.org, mtac.org.
Right, MTAC, but we have to stress that it's the South Bay branch. Because it being a state organization exists all over California. So there's a San Francisco branch and a San Fernando Valley West branch, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We're dealing here with the South Bay branch.
South Bay branch. All right, great. And do we have any particular people that we deal with in the South Bay branch?
Well, the person I deal with most is whoever happens to be running the contest, the Artist of the Future contest, and that's a gentleman by the name of Wei Wong, whom I've known for many years before he got involved with this, who's a fine violinist and violin teacher.
Okay.
So he's my current fellow I have the most contact with.
Okay. I say that because I want to make sure that people that have an interest can get in touch with them. Apparently, the current president of the Music Teachers Association South Bay branch is Shirley Yamamoto, and their website is mtacsouthbay.org. So if you'd like to get in touch with the Music Teachers Association of California South Bay branch, their website is mtacsouthbay.org.
So if you're in the South Bay and you're looking for a private teacher on one of many different instruments, that's a good resource to go there to find a very competent person.
Yes, they have teacher referrals here. And piano, composition theory, organ, and other instruments, voice. That's very nice. I want to sing, Barry. I want to be a singer.
Good.
So let's talk a little bit more about the program. After the Cecile Chaminade piece, then we go Ziegerweizen. What is this?
Okay. No, sorry about that. It's called Zigeunerweizen.
Zigeunerweizen. Okay.
Right.
I just need to start there.
Right. It literally means gypsy airs.
Mm.
Yeah. What's interesting about that title is the piece was written by Pablo de Sarasate, who was a fine Spanish violinist, and I've always wondered why he gave it a German title. And I just realized when, preparing my pre-concert lecture, it was first performed in Leipzig, Germany. So I'm sure he gave it a German title to appeal to the German audience at that time, I'm guessing that his publisher just stuck with that.
Yes. So Pablo was just pandering to his audience. Is that right?
Well, I would say appealing is a nicer word. Pandering, yes.
Okay.
Right, but the whole world knows that he was Spanish, and everybody calls it Zigeunerweizen.
Zigeunerweizen.
Right.
Gypsy airs.
In German, it means exactly the same thing. Zigeuner is gypsy, and Weizen is airs. And in English, airs is just an old word for song. If you read, like, 17th century novels, and they'll say that Miss So-and-so in the salon sang an air by Purcell. So it's an old word for song.
Now, and the soloist is, his name is Alex, last name?
Well, Alex Lowe.
Alex Lowe, the violin soloist.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about Alex.
Well, he happens to be studying violin with the gentleman I mentioned earlier, Wei Wong.
Hmm.
You know, I don't remember which high school he goes to.
Hmm.
He plays these very well. We rehearsed with him last week,
hmm.
and I'll see him again this evening. But after all the, you know, 20 years of doing this, there have been so many fine young musicians who have played with us, they tend to blur a little bit, I'm sorry to say.
But obviously he's impressed you a little bit. You like his playing.
Oh, yes. He does an excellent job.
Yes.
Yes, and he's caught that gypsy feel.
Yes.
And I'm always feeling uncomfortable when I use that word gypsy because that is no longer politically correct.
Is it not?
That group of people is officially now to be referred to as Roma. R-O-M-A. You can use historical expressions like Zigeunerweisen, and you could refer to gypsy music or something, but as an ethnic group, they are to be referred to now as Roma.
I see. Well, I'm glad we're politically correct here on the South Bay Show. and again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call in, we'd love to have any comments or questions. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288, 714-242-5288. We're talking with Maestro Brisk, the music conductor the music director for the Beach Cities Symphony Orchestra, and we're having a wonderful time talking about it, and it's something that we look forward to. It's four pieces a year, right, Barry?
It usually comes out. Sometimes it's only three. One time we actually got up to five, but it's usually four student soloists plus an overture and a concluding piece.
Yes, yes. And I'm sorry. I meant there are four concerts.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yes, it's always four concerts. They're usually November, January, March, and May.
Yes, yes, and all at the Marseille Auditorium and Zigeunerweisen.
You'll get it down.
I love German. I've always loved German in my mouth. It feels. Very, very something, solid, powerful, I don't know. There's something about it, something about the grammar, the verb conjugation, word order. There's something about German. Of course, there's the whole, you know, during the war and after the war, the way in which German was used to make light of things or to make comedy is a big deal for Americans, I think, and so it caused German to become a part of the language, you know, and or the German way of speaking. You
right.
will understand this. You will, right?
Yes. But that's sort of gone away now.
Yeah.
You did have things like Colonel Klink.
Right.
On Hogan's Heroes. It was played by Werner Klemperer,
right.
You know, who they were. It was a parody, of course, of World War II.
Right.
And we had a lot of that. But those old-fashioned accents that the Germans used to have really disappeared because their English is really much better now. I've been in Germany recently, and when they're speaking English, they don't do all that old-fashioned, those accents that go from the Second World War and before that, because now, you know, everything's so international with television and movies and radio that accents are much better. So those old things, you know, I will do this, that's all gone now. Nobody talks like that anymore.
Well, I miss that.
Of course, English, we have several German words that come up. One of them is Angst.
Right.
We always talk about, 21st century Angst, where everybody is worried or concerned about things, you know. And then we also have the word Ersatz that we use, a substitute. something, you know, which came out of World War II, because over there, after the, you know, after the war, the country was in such bad shape, everything they had was a substitute. They didn't get original anythings, you know, whether it was meat or, you know, wood or something. They got something that was different, and it was an ersatz item, and English picked that up, you know. So the influence goes both ways.
Yes, and I the whole sort of, Americanization of the planet, I don't know what to say about that, except that I hope that we don't lose the uniqueness and language and history of places. You, Barry, are going on a trip soon.
Right. And of course, one of the pleasant things about the Americanization, although it takes away from some cultures, is that it's a whole lot easier to communicate.
Right.
So we're starting off in Tel Aviv.
Right.
Next Tuesday we're leaving, because my wife has been invited to give a paper at the University of Tel Aviv. And of course, in Israel, everybody speaks English. I mean, yes, they learn Hebrew, of course, but they also all learn English.
Right.
And after that, we'll be in Rome.
Right.
For about 4 days, and then we'll be in Barcelona for about 4 days, and then we return to Los Angeles.
Hmm.
Right. But, you know, in the old days, they used to tell you, if you're going to Paris, you know, Parisians, they don't want to talk English to you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a 40-year-old story, because when I've been there in the past 5 years a couple of times, we had no difficulty. I mean, they like it if you can speak French to them, of course.
Hmm.
And I start out speaking French, but I only get so far.
Hmm.
But they have no issues speaking English, and you do not get bad treatment if you don't speak French. Those are all, you know, stories from 50 years ago that are no longer valid,
mm-hmm.
at least in experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, our last piece by a artist of the future is a concerto in C major. I guess this is the third movement, Allegro Molto, by Franz Joseph Haydn. I don't know what opus this is, but it...
usually have opus numbers.
No. I see.
But this is interesting, because this piece was discovered only in 1961 in a library in Prague, Czechoslovakia, now the Czech Republic. So it only came to light at that point. It was played, you know, back in, in the 1750s or something when it was written, but it did not sort of survive. So it was played then, and then Rostropovich, the famous Russian cellist, picked it up in around 1963 when it was published, and he helped give it an international reputation, and now you hear it all the time. I heard it at Philharmonic, LA Philharmonic, a couple of years ago, and we've already, with a different soloist, we played the first movement of it 2 years ago. The soloist this time is Christina Park.
Mm-hmm.
You should look forward to hearing her play this next Friday evening. But it has a little bit of an interesting history that way.
I love cello, featured cello soloists in this piece, and that's going to be wonderful. So that brings us to the cap of the evening, Tchaikovsky's March Slav. Tell us a little bit about that piece.
Okay. That was written about 1876, when there was a war between Serbia and the Turks, just to the east of them, in that old Ottoman Empire in Turkey at that time. There was a big war, and of course Russia was on the side of the Serbs, because they were fellow Slavs, and they all, you know, had the Orthodox Church in common. And so Tchaikovsky wrote this sort of as a patriotic thing for that war. and he originally called it his Serbo-Russo March, something of that nature. Of course, that would have been in Russian, not English. And it has several Serbian folk songs in it, and which are now much better known because of the March Slav than being Serbian folk songs. The first famous opening tune, which is in a sort of a mournful mood, is supposed to represent the sorrowfulness of the Serbian situation at the war. There are several different tunes in it, including these folk songs.
Mm-hmm.
And twice in the course of the piece comes the Russian national anthem from that period, which was called "God Save the Tsar." That was it happens twice in the piece, and then there's a big rousing conclusion at the end.
Mm.
You know, ends in typical Tchaikovsky fashion with a big ending. It is very typical of his style from that period.
Mm. Well, now I had gotten some background when I was looking for the piece that we're going to hear. And you represented it wonderfully, this is the history part, I think, of music that this piece as you said, it was around 1876. It was premiered on November 17th, 1876, conducted by Nikolai Rubinstein. And it was in June 1876, the Serbia was at war with the Ottoman Empire. Russia openly supported Serbia. The Russian Musical Society commissioned an orchestral piece from Tchaikovsky for a concert in aid of the Red Cross Society and ultimately for the benefit of wounded Serbian veterans. Many Russians sympathized with their fellow Slavs and Orthodox Christians and sent volunteer soldiers and aid to assist Serbia. And that's very interesting that this piece was commissioned to generate money to support the Serbian veterans. And that's history. There you go.
Indeed, yes. You get all the, classical music is filled with things like that. when Beethoven was composing his fifth piano concerto, the Emperor Concerto, Napoleon was marching into Vienna.
Mm.
You know, and he had to go rush down into the basement because there was artillery fire and whatnot. I mean, you don't think of that when you hear the Emperor Concerto with such a wonderful piece.
Mm.
And it's not about war at all. So, it's just music is a fascinating thing because it's part of life.
Right. So now we have this March Slav, and I'd like for our listeners to hear a little bit of it.
Excellent.
All right, here we go. It's a. I sometimes struggle with his name. Is Peter Ilyich?
Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky.
Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. Okay. The March Slav. That piece is so familiar.
Oh, yes. It's one of the great, you know, popular classical pieces.
It is so familiar. I mean, that's you think Russian music, that's it. If not, as they say, it's paired with the 1812 Overture often. If it's not that, it's the 1812 Overture. And that is wonderful. Looking forward to that.
Yes, we can get into the typical, you know, Slavic soul here. That it's so Tchaikovsky, you know, that mournful first tune that we just heard, followed by that beautiful lyrical song afterwards. Just marvelous Russian culture.
Yes, 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 yes. So now this is wonderful. We're in this season prior to your 20th anniversary season. And how are things going with the Beach City Symphony? Give us an update.
There's always several sides to things. I mean, in terms of orchestra personnel and musicians, things are going pretty well.
Yeah.
We always use a few this's or that's's in the string instruments. If anybody's out there and thinks they're qualified to play, they should go to our website and contact us. That's beachsymphony.org.
Yes.
And, of course, from a fiscal point of view, local volunteer nonprofit organizations always need more funds because the concerts, although they're free, they cost us a lot of money using the Marcy Auditorium, all kinds of expenses. You have to have insurance in case somebody has an accident at one of your rehearsals or performances. You have to be covered, printing programs and flyers that you do, and there's all kinds of expenses involved. So if you come to one of our concerts and enjoy it, we would appreciate it if you could make a contribution because these things do cost money. I don't mean to be negative, but it's just one of life's realities. Fresh air may be free, but that's about all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think it's being negative. I think the balance sheet is the balance sheet. That's a fact of life, and
the results are so utterly positive. That is presenting great music, presenting fine young student soloists. It's all such a positive thing that that's why we continue to work for it all the time.
Right. Now, I it's at times like this that I the question comes to mind. You could charge, Barry, $5 a ticket or $2 a ticket. Why free?
Well, because they've always been that way. That's your offer to the community.
Hmm.
Many people would probably be might have a problem paying $5, you don't know who your audience are specifically, the names of people. I mean, I recognize faces, but that might be a turnoff, particularly for seniors on a fixed income, something like that. So most community orchestras do free concerts.
Right, right. Okay. Well, then it's free, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard it. You right from the music director's mouth, it's free. So you should come out this Friday, March 23rd. The Beach City Symphony Orchestra will be performing at the Marseille Auditorium. Concert starts at 8:15, but if you come early at 7:30, there will be a lecture given by Barry in the main auditorium, and then a further lecture at the same time, 7:30, by young musicians representing their teachers and so forth from the Music Teachers Association, South Bay Branch. And that'll be in the upper balcony, and so it should be a fascinating talk for your students who are learning music, and should be a wonderful night.
Indeed, we look forward to seeing many people, and hopefully many of you listeners.
Yes. Yes, we do. And Barry, you're still there?
I'm still here. Yes.
Okay.
Wouldn't run away for anything.
It was so quiet. I don't want to lose you, Maestro Brisk. I don't.
Oh, you won't.
I thoroughly enjoy talking with you, Barry, before each performance. It gives me a chance to think about what pieces you're going to be playing, and there's always a wonderful story, a wonderful arc to the story for the pieces. How, in the minute that we have left, 30 seconds, how are the pieces chosen that you're going to be playing?
Normally, not the Artists of the Future concert, but another one, that's the job of the music director, is to select the pieces.
Yes.
On this concert, all I picked were the first piece, the Winter Waltz, and the concluding piece, March Slav, because the young soloists are determined by a contest that takes place in January.
Right.
So you never know what that's going to be. I have no influence on what those young soloists play.
Mm-hmm.
So that concert's the only one that's a little bit vague. I do the opening piece and the closing piece.
I see.
But it's like at our last, I picked all of those pieces.
Well, looking forward to it. It's going to be great. And, of course, we will bring the next concert to people via online radio. Please pass this around if you're listening, or if you get a listen to this, please pass this to your neighbors and friends and post it on Facebook and get yourself and your friends out there to the Marseille Auditorium this Friday. It's going to be wonderful. Thank you so much, Barry Brisk, music director of the Beach City Symphony Orchestra, for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Joe.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you then, ladies and gentlemen. Bye-bye.